next, we study the want to study sigma 1 symmetric function in the complex case in the study of Taylor Ritchie flow. Another example is in the Taylor geometry, the celebrated work of Yao on Calabi conjecture opened a very big field in the study of complex non-ampere type equation, which actually corresponds to the nth symmetric function. So it's very natural we want to ask how about the intermediate case. And more generally, we are very curious about the general fully nonlinear elliptic equation. And that is our question. Under what conditions that the solution to this general fully nonlinear elliptic equation is a purely some harmonic one? Okay, so let's go back to the real case and the very natural counterpart in the for the theory of harmonicity. In the real case, of course, is the convexity issue, which is one of the fundamental geometric properties related to the theory of partial differential equations, especially for the equations arising from geometric problems. And recently, Caffarelli, Guan, and Ma constructed a general convexity principle in that for any convex solution of a fully nonlinear elliptic equation, F, if under some structural condition on F, and if phi, the right-hand side phi is concave, then the Hessian matrix is of constant rank. And actually, the natural structural condition holds for the case metric functions. So the very famous so-called Christoff-Minkowski problem can be solved as a special case. So now, I want to generalize it, or I want to find a counterpart, a complex version. And I start with the elementary symmetric function first. So here are just some notations. First, we introduce the complex coordinates in complex spaces and define the first order and second order derivatives. Also, we define a smooth function to be purely subharmonic if the complex Hessian URG bar, the matrix is non-negative definite. So this is a statement of our constant rank theorem in the complex case. So for any C3 purely subharmonic function, solution to following equation sigma k, if the right-hand side f if satisfies that the negative log f is purely subharmonic, then the complex Hessian U is of constant rank. And here the sigma k is the elementary k symmetric function. Yeah?
I know this is a very stupid question, but just can you tell us two things?
Mm-hmm.
Definition for Fourier subharmonic.
That's for smooth. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but can you give us another definition? Maybe just with one variable. No, that is a subharmonic.
Yeah, subharmonic, yeah.
Okay,
in the real case, yeah.
Can you tell us what sigma k
is? No, it's different. Sigma k is defined in terms of the complex Hessian.
I know, but maybe other people don't.
Okay.
Just on the blackboard, you know
what
sigma k is?
I will show you.
I'm sorry, the question is so long.
Okay, there is it. So the elementary symmetric function for any k, for n vector lambda, we can define it as the sum of k product. So, and the sum is taken over all the strictly increasing sequences of lambda i1 to ik of indices. So that is defined for the n vector lambda. Also, we can generalize, extend to the symmetric matrices by taking the sigma k as the in terms of its eigenvalues of n terms. Yeah? And well, we also know some notation of sigma 0 and sigma k bigger than n. So with this at hand, I want to see this idea of the proof. So the idea of proof is very simple and very typical in the study of PDE, especially elliptic PDE. So assume the complex Hessian attains its minimal rank at some point, then we want to study at the surrounded points. For any point we choose some specific local normal frame so to make that the comprehension at that point is diagonal. And all the following calculations are actually at that point. So we define phi to be sigma L plus 1, one higher the rank than the rank, so and F to be sigma K. So we noted that the phi alpha here, the phi alpha beta bar, that is, we consider as a matrix, is semi-positive definite. And F itself is strictly positive definite. So we want to study the contraction sum, and you want to deduce it to a strong minimum principle, then at that point to force the constant rank. Okay, so that is our idea of the proof. So I just sketch proof. By the statement, we want to study the contraction sum, and the first equation is just I write down it by normal way. And then the next step, we want to regroup all the terms for alpha, ij, gamma, s, every term, two for different sets by dividing the indices into two sets, good set and bad set. And generally speaking, the good set is we for all the indices that we can estimate the lower bound for the eigenvalue. For example, if we define decreasing eigenvalue, then the good point to be the first L eigenvalue set. And the bad set are the rest we cannot have estimate right now. So once we regroup it, and the idea is what we want to hope there's some cancellation might happen. If we commute the indices of the covariant derivative with some help of algebraic inequality and the properties of elementary symmetric functions. This actually was a method used in the real case discussed by Caffarelli, Guan, and Ma. But unfortunately, the exact algebraic cancellation cannot be applied to every term. Here, I just give two typical examples. The first one, after we regrouped every indices to different sets. You can imagine it's a long calculation. So I just picked this one first, and notice the first, if in the real case, the two moduli in the brackets are just identical because they are symmetric for any indices. Okay, but in the complex case, it's much different because in the first one, if we commute beta and I, then it becomes alpha I, beta bar. Actually, it does not happen in complex case. In complex second order derivative, we always think about one with bar and the other indices without bar. So that's the main problem in this case. So our approach is to pick up another term, and this one, this is a negative term, then we can pair each modular pair to pair. For example, we pair the first modulus to the second of this one in the negative term. So once we pair them together, we can get the inequality happen because of the properties of elementary symmetric function, because all the coefficients are in terms of elementary symmetric functions. Okay, so we can deal with this type of indices, it's okay. But another term, this is even more complicated, because the reason we notice the first modulus in bracket, the two indices without bar, that is alpha and I, actually they are not in the same class, because at the sum, alpha is in bad set and I actually is in the good set. So we have no way to pick up another term to make pair and to make the cancellation happen. So this is very the bad thing, because we cannot pick up any other term, and they are not in the same, because they are not in the same class. So then the only useful term to us is the second modulus in the bracket. So roughly speaking, we just lost half of the quantity, of the useful quantity, as in the real case. And that is exactly the reason why our condition here for the right-hand side function f is not f itself concave, but the log is concave. Okay. So this is a proof. I just give two typical difficulty from complex case. And that's the difference between real case and complex case mainly comes from the fact that we cannot commute, we want to make communication to make sure that some algebraic cancellation happen. But in the complex case, we cannot commute two indices, which one indices has bar and another without bar. So, and this actually is not only the technical difficulty, it's also very intrinsic because of the from the complex analysis. So in general, we actually don't have this grading estimate in complex PDEs. Okay. So not only the technical difficulty. But that's the first part of my talk. And second part is that once we have got the constant ranking in the flat domains, of course it's very natural we want to transplant it to the manifolds, especially the Kähler manifold. So this leads us to study Kähler complex geometry, especially the Kähler geometry. And one of the major problems in Kähler geometry is the study of the extremal matrix, especially the Kähler Einstein matrix. The existence was done by Yao on his Calabi conjecture for the case of the first chain class is negative or zero. But the existence for the first chain class is positive is still is much, much more complicated and still open now. But later, Calabi supposed that if assume the existence of the extremal matrix, then he said the Kähler matrix of constant scalar curvature can be a representation in the Kähler class. So that opens a field, an active field now for us to study the extremal matrix. So our result is just following his conjecture to provide a uniqueness result on Kähler Einstein metric. And this is actually a joint work with Peng Feiguan and Xi Zhang. Okay, here the statement of our theorem. For any Kähler manifold with Kähler metric Z, the Ricci form is calculated at that way. And if it satisfies the following equation, F equals constant, and if F is elliptic and either itself is concave or F theta is concave in terms of A, then by another assumption, the holomorphic bisectional curvature of Z is positive, then we see that Z must be a Kähler Einstein metric. Okay, this is a statement. Here I just give some preliminaries in Kähler geometry we'll use in proof. For any compact Kähler manifold with Kähler metric Z, Zij bar, then its Kähler form can be read that way, is a closed and real form. And the curvature tensor can be calculated under the local coordinate system. And we also say that the Kähler manifold has positive holomorphic bisectional curvature if this happens, this to be positive for all non-zero vectors V and W. And Ricci tensor can be taking the trace of the holomorphic bisectional curvature. And we got that the Ricci form is a real and closed. And actually, the last definition is very crucial. Actually, it's useful in our proof, the orthogonal bisectional curvature, by means R, I, R, J, J bar for any non-equal indices I and J. Okay. when we prove the constant rank for elementary symmetric function, which depends mostly on the properties of the elementary function. But in here, we study the general constant rank theorem for F, for general F. Then instead of that, we introduce the structural inequality. This comes from the structural condition on F. Remember, the F theta, we define it by this way. F theta, it is concave in terms of A. So if from that condition, we can get this inequality happens, and this plays the fundamental. This is very fundamental in our proof, this inequality, the structural inequality. And actually, this condition, F theta, is concave, is a very natural condition because it can be applied to any elementary symmetric function and as well as some forms of symmetric function, for example, the sigma k of one over k or the quotient of elementary functions. Okay. So the only difference of flat case and the Taylor case is, of course, once we commute here the wi bar alpha alpha bar, we want to commute ii, the group of ii and alpha alpha bar, then there are some curvature term comes out because it's not flat. So here is our commute formula in the complex, in the Taylor manifold. So now you see the only matrix, the only curvature we are going to deal with is a holomorphic bisectional curvature. Okay. So the proof is very simple. We deal with the same terms, long terms, with the same method in the flat case, and the only term different is the curvature term. But with our assumption on the curvature term, the curvature by holomorphic curvature is positive, then we can deduce this. The metric of W still have constant rank. That's the first step. And next, we want to prove actually the rank itself is zero. This is by the strictly positive of our orthogonal bisectional curvature. So this completes the proof. And then the last thing is one more remark here. In our statement of theorem, we assume the bisectional holomorphic bisectional curvature is positive. And actually, it can be generalized to the orthogonal bisectional curvature is positive, and it's not negative and can be positive only at one point. That's enough. Okay, so I stop here and thank you. Statement is F Ricci equals constant, and F has to satisfy some structural condition. Also, the holomorphic bisectional curvature, and actually it's orthogonal bisectional curvature satisfy condition. And here, the reason I picked Ricci is because Ricci is a closed and real 1-1 form in Taylor.